All right, how's everybody doing? I'm glad we get to get together tonight and be together as women. It's going to be a great night. We're going to do something a little different, and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. So I hope that you'll be really, really inspired by what we get to experience tonight. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, and while you're turning there, I want to address the married sisters for just a couple minutes. Tomorrow's our marriage retreat. Yay! I know you guys are very excited. I sure am. Jeff and Lisa Saccone are coming from Orlando to do the retreat. And I know everybody's just excited about getting away, getting with our husbands, and getting away from the kids, and getting them situated, and all that. But and it can be really exciting and chaotic at the same time. But I just wanted to encourage you guys that we'll be going to take an extra effort to speak to Lisa Saccone while she's here. She'll be doing a class for us on Saturday morning, and it'd be great for you to go up, introduce yourselves, welcome her, thank her for being here, and tell her what you got out of her class. I know what I'm going to do is just pack a thank you note in my purse and have a card ready for her, and just express to her, you know, what I got out of it myself. So I know that just would really help her and encourage her, and just let her know that we did it did register, and that we are planning to put things into practice. So anyway, in Ephesians 4, we're going to look at a passage I know we've read several times, where Paul talks about how the body of Christ is being built. And in verse 11 and following, he tells us, you know, the different leaders in the church have been given the charge of building up and equipping the body. And what happens as a result is a really awesome thing. Down in verse 14, it talks about the reason that it is built up is that in verse 14 it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, over the past several months, especially lately, we've been hearing a lot of messages expressing the need to grow, for us to grow personally in our walks with God. And we've heard words and phrases, you know, like transformation. We've been hearing that a lot lately, haven't we? God's not done with us yet. I think about, you know, the need to become learners that was taught earlier in the year. And all these messages, I know for me, have been swirling around. I mean, I think about Alan's class last week and just the charge for us to keep repenting of things in our life. And that's all for the goal of us to grow, to be better, to be closer to Jesus, be more like him. So I hope you've been thinking about that and meditating on it. But I thought what we'd do tonight is put some flesh and bones on these concepts. And what I mean by this is we're going to have some women come up and share about how they've grown. I kind of looked around the congregation and I asked other people, and I found five sisters that have grown a great deal just recently, just this year. And they're going to, they have some things prepared. It's really, really awesome. And they're going to take 5 minutes each and or so. 5 minutes each. And share what made that growth spurt click for them. You know, what was it that really prompted them to grow spiritually? Amen? So I'm going to start with a prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to the ladies. Somebody please turn my phone off. I'm so sorry. Figures. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for the sisters here tonight. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for the way they love you and the way we do so much want to be like Jesus. Father, that is a constant goal of ours. It is hard. We know that the walk we set on is never an easy one, never promised it would be easy. But I pray, God, that this will help us tonight to really grow and be more like your son. Father, please be with the sisters as they come up and share. Help them not to be too nervous. Help them to really feel at home. And thank you so much for the effort they made to prepare tonight. Father, be with us, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in a great way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Bianca.
Hi.
Sorry.
Hi, my name is Bianca. I'm a part of the campus ministry here. I've been a disciple for about 4.5 years. I got baptized as a teen in the teens ministry. Before I became a disciple, a lot of my relationships were really just superficial, and they were very, like, surfacey. Like, nobody knew the real me. And I, like, hid that from anybody. I was never really open with anyone. And so when I became a disciple, a lot of my relationships in the kingdom were just like that. Like, I didn't have any best friends. Like, everything would, whenever anybody would ask me how I'm doing, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Like, it was just really surfacey. And so nobody really knew, like, the real me. And so I didn't have any best friends. And so I was feeling a lot of loneliness in the kingdom. Like, and it shouldn't be that way. And so I didn't realize it until about a year ago. I remember we were having a campus devo. And, like, we were all just sharing what was going on in our lives. And I just, when it got to me, like, I just broke down and, like, let all the sisters know, like, just how lonely I was feeling. And, of course, like, all the sisters came up to me and they comforted me and they're like, you're not alone, like, we love you. But there was one sister in particular who, like, really just challenged me to, like, open myself up to the sisters and really just get out of myself and really just, like, go after them. And so I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. Like, I didn't think that I needed to change anything. I was like, you know, I'm fine, but I'll, you know, whatever. And so I decided to study out what a godly friendship looks like anyway. And so upon studying it out, like, I realized that the whole time I was blaming the other sisters. Like, I was thinking that it was just them, like, not making me feel welcome, and I was blaming them and not looking at myself. But I realized that the whole time, like, I wasn't putting an effort into building relationships with anyone. And, like, I wanted so badly to have a best friend, but I wasn't willing to put, like, go after them and make that relationship with people. So while I was studying it out, like, I got a better understanding of the body. When I decided to make Jesus Lord of my life, when I decided to get baptized, and when I became a disciple, I got baptized into the body of God. And so that means that I do not belong to myself. I belong to God. And God wants unity in his church. And in order for that to happen, I have to be open. I have to be honest with what's going on in my life. And I have to give myself up to other people. I have a few scriptures that really stood out to me. The first one is Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." Proverbs 15:23, it says, "Plans for lack of counsel fail, but with many advisors they succeed." Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." In Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." So studying this out, and I also looked at the relationship between Ruth and Naomi and David and Jonathan, it really helped me get, like, a better understanding of how God views friendship. Like, relationships in the kingdom, they're for my benefit. Like, I now have people who hold me accountable for things. Like, I know that I'm not in this fight alone. And also, there are things in my character that I can't see. And so, like, I have people. If I'm being open and honest with what's going on in my life, they can help me change. Like, recently somebody asked me if I still feel lonely, and I can honestly say that I don't. We all have the same goal in the end, so we might as well help each other along the way.
My notes open. Hi, everybody. Oh, gosh. Too short for this. my name is Julie, and I'm from the teens. And I've been a disciple for 2 years. It's my senior year of high school, and I got baptized at the beginning of my sophomore year. So actually, I had planned on speaking about something different until yesterday, and I texted Miss Barb and I was like, there's just one thing that's like really on my heart that I feel like I want to share. And it's more of a recent thing that I've been learning, so I'm still working on it a lot. But in the teen girls classes, we've actually been reading this book called Lies Young Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And we've been doing like classes together, but I've just been convicted a lot as I've been reading it on my own. And so before I can really like talk about what helped me to grow, I have to kind of explain some things about my spiritual walk with God and my different struggles. So during my spiritual walk, I've really struggled with being worrisome and very anxious, having excessive or unnecessary guilt, and not trusting God, and struggling with believing that God will provide for me even when I'm not all that I feel that I need to be. I also struggled a lot more within this past year with becoming legalistic. And one thing is kind of weird, but I struggled with becoming too legalistic about confession. And I basically turned confession into something that was a way to justify myself without God's help, instead of it being like more of a vessel of grace. And I basically started spending way too much time asking myself, like over and over again, if I needed to reconfess a sin, if I needed to say it again. And like even right after I had just confessed it, and I thought, oh no, I thought whatever again. And I basically became really obsessive over it. And in James 5:16, it does say, and you don't have to turn there, this is just a quick reference, but it does say that, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And like Bianca was talking about, it's necessary to have to confess, to have a relationship with God. But I basically took it to the extreme, and I started confessing more as like a way to work out my salvation without God's help. And I became very like too much obsessed with it, and very like nitpicky, trying to like pick things apart, make sure that I had like got covered every single little detail. And it got to a point where I was for sure that I'd said everything that I needed to say and that God wanted me to say to be clear. And I realized that it wasn't the confession, it was just that my feelings were so unaccepting of grace and consumed with my own flaws that I kept feeling guilty and giving in to feeling like I needed to do this again and again and again. And it became more of a trying to justify myself by acts than really by believing in God's grace. And so it was basically became a guilt versus grace thing, tied in with an insecurity that my sinful nature was too strong for God to handle. And so and we started reading this book, and just a few weeks ago, we're only on the fourth chapter, but the first two chapters we read were called, the first one was called The Deceiver, and it was basically about Satan, and the second one was called The Deceived, which was about us, and how Satan deceives us, but we choose to believe in the lies he tells us. And so that really convicted me when I read that in the book, and we could turn to 2 Peter 2:19. It says, I'll wait a second. Oops, I'm in first. A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. And that really just got me to really realizing that I was letting like my fear that God couldn't handle my sin and my struggles, and I was letting my fear and my emotions master me, and I wasn't living the way that God wanted me to live. I wasn't living freely, and like I read the scriptures that talked about freedom, but I wouldn't assert it to myself that it was really true. Kind of just go with whatever my feelings felt. So basically, I I knew I was forgiven, but I always seemed to not feel at peace with the fact, and I had to always be doing something more than what God said was enough. So I wasn't satisfied with what God said was enough. I felt like I had taken to my own hands. And so then I read the third chapter of the book, which is called The Truth. And if you could turn to John 14:6. And it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And this is kind of like where I started to take a turn, where I realized that I was trying so hard to pull away all the lies from my life and analyzing so much, like, have I covered every little detail in confession, or have I done the every little thing right, that I wasn't putting any truth into my life. I was just trying to take away the lies. And so I basically had forgotten about the truth in a lot of aspects. And I realized that I wouldn't ever feel free in Christ and safe in his love and would never be able to trust him until I decided myself to believe and assert to myself the truth in the Bible. And so basically I just had to start telling myself scriptures that affirmed like being a new creation and that I would trust God. Like I tell myself Jeremiah 29:11 and Proverbs 3:5-6, God does have the plans for me and I will trust God. And just basically being like an assertive with myself. And through that, basically the lies lost their power because I started telling myself what the Bible said. And there's just a quick little excerpt from this book. It basically summed up exactly what I wanted to say. And it says, it's not enough to know that the source of lies is Satan, or even to realize how you have cooperated with him to empower lies. You've got to become familiar and saturated with the truth. And so basically that's what I learned, was just to not focus so much on the lies, but just pour in the truth, and just the truth will overcome all the lies. So thank you.
Okay, hi guys. I'm Mary Joy Hanicha, and I'm part of the Awesome Singles Ministry. Yay. Woo! Okay. This Monday will be a 20-year anniversary that God brought me into his kingdom. I have not been a disciple for 20 years. I was first met in campus ministry. I was a disciple for 3 years. I fell away for 9 years, and this November will be 8 years that I've been back. So I've learned some different things, and this lesson that I've learned that I'll kind of share tonight is something that's really good that I'm going to have to use for other parts of my life that are going on now, and I'll just begin. And I prepared something because public speaking is a little scary or nervous. So what made the difference for me? It's been some time now that all I would hear is trust God, rely on God. It seems way for the longest time that that's what all I would hear from Chandra, from Lisa Gunter, from Sarah would tell me a lot, just trust God. But I could not figure out how to do that. What does it look like? Because I thought I was already doing it. Of course I trust God. I'm relying on God. But what does that look like? I had to take a step back. It was one day when I was watching my nieces at my older sister's house that I understood reliance on God and trust God. I had an observation watching them playing, having a good time, and when dinner was ready, they came to the table and ate and just enjoyed themselves. Big deal, right? Yep, it was a big deal. It was my aha moment. Observing them, I realized that they didn't worry about if they were going to eat dinner. They may give the request at what they wanted for dinner, but they knew they were going to eat dinner. They were not preoccupied with it. They simply trusted, believed, and relied on mom to have dinner, not a worry. And I saw it, what it means to trust God, what it looked like, simply living in confidence, awaiting what you know he has for you. If you don't mind, we'll turn to John 4, 46 through 53. Once he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to what time his son got better, they said to him, Yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that was the exact time at which Jesus had told him, Son, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. He asked Jesus for what he needed and believed Jesus would do it. He went about after speaking with Jesus. He took Jesus at his word, and Jesus kept his word. So had I always trusted God? Did I take God at his word? Was I living in confidence, awaiting what I knew God has for me? Not completely. I fasted, I prayed, I read scriptures, I knew God could do it, I believed God could do it, but would God do it? I wasn't playing, having a good time, and then coming to dinner. No, I was worrying about dinner. I was wondering when was dinner. I was wondering where was dinner, what was for dinner, would I like dinner, can I make dinner happen myself, and was I gonna get dinner, and if I got dinner, would I like dinner? I had to reevaluate. I actually did that on a cruise I went, not necessarily intentionally either, not like I'm spiritual any more than anyone else. It just happened that at an early moment in the cruise. It was a Fellowship Hawaii cruise with Disciples Today. It was my first cruise and first time to Hawaii. It was at a moment where I was getting hit on by non-disciple men and barely noticed by disciple brothers. I met this brother I thought I liked, but he paid no particular attention to me. I must be an unspiritual sister who doesn't attract spiritual brother. I thought to myself, is this it? Is this my life? No future? No future family? No husband? No children? No dog? Just kidding. Don't really want dogs. That's just me. It was 4 in the morning after boarding. On the cruise, we had met each other, had a spectacular luau put on by our sisters and brothers at the Oahu Church the Saturday prior to our boarding the Sunday after a wonderful church service send-off by our sisters and brothers at the Oahu Church. I couldn't sleep. I was still jet-lagged, but I was distraught. I looked over. My shipmate was sleeping. I got out of bed, walked on the deck on the ship. It was dark. Hardly anyone was out. Some crew people were working on the deck. I got a spot out of their way and looked at the sky and poured my heart out to the creator of everything and me. I asked him, what was for dinner? When is dinner? Where is dinner? Would I have dinner? Then I told him, if there was no dinner for me, then hold my heart and allow me to be happy with the kids in my life and allow me to always serve you, God. I cried and poured out to God and left everything there at his feet. I walked away satisfied that I was going to have dinner, but it may not be what I'm thinking. Husband, children, leave out the pets. It will be great because God knows how to give good gifts. Last scripture we'll look at, Matthew 7:7-11. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, find. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Then I had surrendered. I came to the place where I was playing, having a good time, and I was going to come to dinner when it was ready, whatever dinner God had prepared for me. And I enjoyed the cruise. And lo and behold, the next day I got to hang out with a brother and some other brothers and sisters. I had no excursions planned. I didn't quite get the understanding of the excursions until after boarding. All of us who hadn't had an excursion spontaneously just hung out together on the first island in Kauai. We had a great time, and slowly but surely, the brother and I, along with the other brothers and sisters, started hanging out more and more together, eating, and there's lots of eating, and watching movies. There's a cinema on board, and live shows, and some of them were really good. And we continued building a friendship with one another. Our friendship has continued even after the cruise, texting, talking, emailing, FaceTime, and visiting. Today, our friendship continues to grow, and honestly, I cannot say what God has in store for it or us, but I can say this. I can trust God and know what it looks like. I can live, play, trust, believe, rely on God to have dinner. Whatever dinner may be, depend upon where life takes us. God always has our dinner. Live, pray, trust, surrender, believe God has our dinner, because he does. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kay Peterson, and my husband and I work with the teens, for those of you who don't know. And the teens know that I don't talk a lot, so pay attention, because this is your chance to hear my story. Most of us started coming to church in June of 2011. I think that I mainly started coming to church because Moose wanted to come. He says, we had the conversation when I was doing this, he says it was because I wanted to come, but it wasn't. It was refreshing to come to church because I had been away for so long. I grew up in a Baptist church. I went to a Christian school. You know, I thought I had everything figured out, but I didn't. So when we started coming, I enjoyed the fellowship, but I was very skeptical. I wasn't going to let you guys get me. I was confident in the position that I was in. A little background, because I kind of started in the middle. In 2008, in February of 2008, I had a miscarriage. And it was very hard for me. I'm not going to cry. It was very hard for me. I was devastated. I couldn't understand why. And then in December of 2008, I had a second miscarriage. And I was really, really angry. I didn't know why God would do it the first time. How could he do it the second time? You know, I figured the first time was, we were even. You know, I had sinned an awful lot in that time period when I was away from him. And we were even because he took my baby. And then he did it again. So I was like, wow. I just made me more angry. I didn't know how to deal with it. I pulled away from everything. I went deeper into my darkness. It was a very low period in my life, my husband will tell you. I know that I never really dealt with it. I didn't trust that God knew what he was doing. I was very angry. I was hurt. I felt alone. I was felt inadequate. You know, society tells us that things are supposed to be a certain way, and when they're not, we question it. So I carried all that around with me for years, all that anger, all that hurt, and I blamed God. I wasn't going to let it go. I didn't want any part of it. And then, obviously, fast forward to 2011, we've been in church for about a month, and on July 7th, 2011, God was ready for me. He, that Sunday morning, I don't see her, Christy Roberson, where are you? Gary talked. He poured out his heart about the loss of his grandson, Miles. And the title of his sermon was, What to Do When God Says No. And when I heard that story, it was like, wham, right there. I was stuck. I was in the middle of a pew. I couldn't get out. I couldn't run. I was stuck. And I sat there, and as like 5 minutes into it, I was bawling like a baby, and I cried the entire time. Everything that was inside of me just poured out. Afterwards, I wanted to go thank Gary about, you know, just sharing his heart for allowing God to use him in that way, but I couldn't speak because I was still crying. I know that God had that message for me. I know we've all felt that way, that sometimes, you know, that message is just for you. He's talking just to me. He knows my sin, or he knows this, or he knows that. Well, God does know, and he knows how to get to us. I knew then that I was going to be different. That was when I started changing my thinking. Shortly after that, I started studying the Bible. God was the only person that could heal my heart. He had been, looking back, I can see how he was reaching out to me throughout all that time that I had been apart from him. But I didn't want to hear it. I was stubborn. Satan had me, and, you know, he wasn't going to let go, and I was content to let him have me. Also, looking back now, I can see how God worked in my life. All those things, it's easy for me to see the evidence of his power in my life. Even before I was baptized, how Moose and I ended up here in Atlanta from Memphis was just totally by chance. Not by chance, it was by God. How we ended up at this church, the people that he put in study with me, it's not my personality to open up and share who I am. And Kathy and Chloe, you know, they made it so easy for me. And Wendy, all made it so easy for me. When I started to really study the scriptures, I saw God changing my heart. Some of the things were I was starting to become more understanding of my husband, to be more patient, to be more giving to people, more relying on God. One particular example that I can think of how God kind of does his thing. I work with FedEx, which most of you know. I'm not a courier. I'm a manager, so I don't have to do deliveries. There was a time when I went out to help out, and I got lost in the North Georgia Mountains, Saltina Coochie. I don't know if anybody knows where that is. I got lost, and I started to panic. I thought of a scripture. You guys don't have to turn there because it'll be quick. Luke 12, 25 through 26 says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" That popped into my head. I prayed that God was going to get me through it. And not 5 minutes later, he sent me an angel. This little elderly lady that lived in the neighborhood. It was a gated community that, you know, there's one way in and one way out. But you know how the mountain roads are. They wind up and down. Anyway, it was getting dark. So she pulled up beside me. "Honey, do you need some help?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, but I don't want to bother you." She's like, no, what do you have?" And took me all around through the neighborhood. It was probably for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then guided me out. It was just wonderful, and that was God. Otherwise, I'd probably still be stuck there. I don't know if it's easier for me to say things now, looking back, or if it's just now that I'm looking for God, that I'm able to see him. Thankfully, he is always faithful. He never gave up on me. He still hasn't given up on me. Every answer for every problem that I've got or that I've ever had is in God's word. It's there, written down. I know we've heard that 100 times. It's written down for us. You just have to open it up and look. You have to talk to God, and you have to trust that he's going to give you the answer, the right answer, no matter what it is. Now when I struggle with being afraid of the unknown, being afraid of this, not being a mom or being disappointed if he doesn't answer a question or a wish or a desire that I have in the way that I want, I always go back to a scripture that Julie shared, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's one of my most favorite promises in the Bible. I'm still learning how to listen, how to be patient, how to serve, and how to trust in God. I love him so much because of who he is, all that he's done for me, how he cares for me and provides for me, but most of all because of his grace and mercy, because I am a stanky person on the inside. And he has given me more than my fair share of mercy and grace. And I know that I won't ever measure up, but I pray that I always, always keep trying to change my heart to be more like his. So, yeah.
Thank you. everybody. Oh, hi. Hi, everybody. I'm Kathy Jordan, and I am with the Prime Timers, the Empty Nesters. And I'm in my 50s, and that makes me a grandmother of one, and one on the way. And I've been a disciple for 15 years, and I've been with the church, gosh, since for a long while now. And I came into the church in a roundabout way. My husband was had been approached by the church, and I was moving here, and he was out of town on tour, and he was like, "Well, you need to check out the church, and none of this area, none of Sugarloaf area was even built up yet." And I was I didn't even know Atlanta, and I was trying to find my way around, and I said, "Well, God, if I'm supposed to find this church, I'll find it." And I happened to luck up on the Gwinnett Civic Center, and I walked in, and there was all these people, and they were hugging up on everybody. And I walked in, and I met who I was supposed to meet, and I was just so mesmerized. And I thought, "Oh my goodness, where have I walked into Wonderland? And this is nothing like I thought it was going to be." And it's been the best 15 years of my life. And it's just been totally, God just totally planted us where we were supposed to be. And you know, we've had some very difficult times. And Barbara asked me to do this, and she said, you know, "You've really grown." It was like, I have, and it's like, oh my goodness. And I think for me, the thinking back over this last year, I think the thing that I felt that I have grown, that has helped me grow, is that God has definitely touched my life in healing, helping me heal from a very, very long illness, and that has been over the last 12 years. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 5:7, it's a real short passage. It says, "We live by faith and not by sight." And I constantly had to keep that passage in the forefront of my mind each and every day for the last 12 years, that God, that I had faith of, and not by what I saw that was happening to me, but knowing that God was taking care of me and carrying me the whole way through each and every day. And every day that I woke up, I thanked him for waking me up, even though I was in incredible pain each and every day. I mean, not just, "Oh, I ache here or I ache there." I mean, incredible wrenching pain from my top of my head to the bottom of my feet pain. And he said that he would hold on to me each and every day. And this year was my breakthrough. And he has, in starting at about April, he said, "I think you've learned," because I was such an independent person, and I didn't feel that I was, that I had to depend on God like that, that I thought I was more than what he could handle. I really did. I was very into my career. I thought my family was in place, and I thought, okay, I'm a disciple, and that's all well and good. And I said, Jesus is Lord, and I got my career, and I'm booming, and my husband's got a good career, and we're booming. And God said, whoa, I'm going to take all that away from you. And he took it all away and had me flat out. And he said, until you see me for who I need to be in your life, this is where you're going to be. And it took me, I think, a good 3 years to really realize that's what he was doing to me, for me to honestly understand the levity of where I was. It wasn't, I was just sick. I was sick that God was disappointed in that I had left him for myself. I was into Kathy and not into God. And God said, I'm a jealous God. I'm very jealous. And so that was the beginning of the end for me. And then I started reading my Bible. And last year, I started reading my Bible from cover to cover. And when I started reading my Bible cover to cover, that is when I knew. In Luke 18:27, it says what it is impossible to, what it is impossible for people, I'll turn it there. I'm step trying to read it. It says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And it was possible for me to see throughout the pages of the Bible all the things, all the promises that God had started saying to me, that he was the Alpha and the Omega. He was the beginning and the end. He was all the things that I forgot. He promised me when I was studying the Bible with the sisters and all the confessions that I had laid out on the table, he brought all of that back to my remembrance, all the scriptures and all of that. My quiet times became better. And I had studies and not just drive-by quiet times. I had real quiet times. And like in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and neither your ways or my ways, declares the Lord. And it was, I started getting, the light bulb started going off. And I was just totally in awe of God. I started falling in love with God all over again and understanding, this is why I wanted to be a disciple. Yeah. When I said Jesus is Lord, that's why I wanted to study. It wasn't because Melvin said, go to this church and check it out. It was because I needed God in my life. I wanted God in my life. And that was the main turnaround for me when I started reading the Bible cover to cover. And seeing chapters that I forgot there were even in the Bible. You know, we do the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we do certain things from time to time when we're in church, and those are the things that I remembered. But then it was like, I forgot about Nehemiah, and I forgot about Zechariah, and all these other things, people in the Bible that really had stories to tell. And the fight that they had, and how God made them victorious, and how they used him, and how he used them. And then the very last thing was that really helped bring me back to God is our women's Bible ministry, and how these Thursday night devos, this setting, has really helped me. And one that really, really helped me this year was Sherry's devo on being how to be grateful for everything. That one. And that one was so inspiring. And to go back and study that one all over again. And going back and writing down the things that I'm grateful for. And seeing within my own household, Fred lives with us. Fred Amon lives with us. And how grateful I am to have that young man to live in my household. And how grateful I am to have someone from a foreign country to, when I've been down and out, he is such an inspiration to come into our room, kneel beside my bed, and pray over me in such a way that it's overwhelming. It would make you cry. And to send that kind of love into my home, he'll clean, he tries to cook, and, you know, he takes care of our dogs, and he and Melvin are awesome together. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my sisters who call and encourage me. I'm grateful for the messages that Marissa Bell and Barbara and Roxanne, all of you guys do. Those kind of things that have empowered me to want to be better, to be my personal best for God. That carries me far, far beyond anything that I ever thought I could be for God. And I never thought that when I first got sick that I would ever be standing in front of anybody talking about how good God is. Because I didn't think I could ever be well. I didn't think he was going to heal me. I didn't have that kind of trust. And he is awesome. He is wonderful. He's the great I am. He can do anything. So if you ever think that he can't, think again, because he can. He is totally off the chain. And I love him. And I am very grateful for him taking me through what he took me through, because he takes us through something to help us learn something, and knowledge is power, and the power of his word really has helped me to learn what and who he is, and I'm very grateful. And that's the lesson that I've learned this year.
Well, I'm inspired. I know, and I hope you guys are too. Thank you, thank you, thank you again, sisters, for sharing. They were all so eager to do this. They were. I was like, "Can you do this?" And okay. And I appreciate that so much. And thank you for being so vulnerable. Thank you for being, for thinking through this. Thank you for just being willing to share. It was right on target, just exactly what we needed. You know, in listening, and I mean, I had a preview, of course. They sent me their class ahead of time. But when some of the things I noticed were just moments in time. You know, I think about Mary Joy with her nieces. And, you know, Kay listening to Gary's sermon. Just those little watershed moments, these little moments in time. What it is the Spirit, and it makes sense, and it can lead to a turnaround when we listen to God, listen to his Spirit during those little moments, and look where it took them. You know, that's what really spurred them on to think, wow, I got to see this here. I also noticed they dug in their Bibles. Kathy read the Bible cover to cover. Julie had to really wrestle. You know, she got in there. She got in her Bible. I mean, I've heard some of these things over the past couple of years that she's been going through, and I'm proud of her for using the Bible and making it work and seeing it. And it is a wrestle. And Bianca's studying out Ruth and Naomi, David and Jonathan, what godly relationships are like. She just took it apart because she wanted to change, and God did that. And then I think about, you know, the decisions that they made. You know, they all just talked about how much it helped them, of course. But it's helped build up our body here in Gwinnett. I mean, Bianca and Robert now lead a Bible talk on campus. And that's awesome. They're just solid, solid pillars of our campus ministry. And Kay and Moose, oh my goodness, you know, what will we do without them helping our teens? I mean, and that decision that Kay made and what she saw and how much she wrapped her arms around God's love has made her want to help. And we need, truly, we need everybody growing. We need everybody doing their part and watching our ministry be built up to God's glory. So, you know, that decision can take us places we never thought. And I'm so glad that we were able to just see these examples tonight. And I hope that will encourage you to grow too.